to Sunday morning. We invite you to stand with us and worship. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your presence in this place. Have your way. So good to us. God, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you this morning. God, we thank you. We worship you, Father God. This is a house of worship. This is a place of praise. Where every demon trembles, where we we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. And you have our full attention. You have the final say. So come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Bring everything to the need of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Oh, we believe in signs and wonders. Oh, we worship. Resurrection power. Your blood runs through our veins. Your kingdom triumphs. Oh, even the coldest grave. We say, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Oh, we pray.
Everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus.
Oh,
this is a house of miracles.
Oh, come alive.
Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus.
God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I still believe
you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working. Oh. Feet of Jesus, everything in the name of Jesus. This is the house of miracles.
Oh, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive
in the name of Jesus.
This is the house of miracles. We bring
everything to the feet of Jesus.
Everything. In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. Oh, we declare, come alive.
Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
This is the house of miracles.
Everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything. This is a house of miracles.
receive your vision. Lord, I believe you're working all things for good.
Sing that over your circumstance.
I still believe you're moving. I still believe.
He's still on the throne.
God, I believe you're working all things for good.
Fix your eyes.
I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good.
Lord, we still believe you are God above everything. You are still on the throne. Lord, everything must bow before you, and we give you praise in this place. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. We love you, Lord. Right now, I just want Abel to share something he was sharing in prayer this morning. And it's going to be beneficial to the body. Come on.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When we were praying earlier this morning, I just kept hearing, make way for the king. I know this is Palm Sunday, and this is when Jesus rode in, but I really want us to dwell on that, the power of that, making way for the king. He is the king of kings. He's the king of glory, and we need to lay all our treasures, everything down at his feet, just like this song was singing. We lay it all at the feet of Jesus because he is the righteous king. All blessing, all glory, all honor and power belongs to this king. And we praise and give you thanks, Father, for sending your son in order to usher in the presence. You said you have to give the password of praise to enter his gates and thanksgiving into his courts. So that's what we're doing in worship right now. We're ushering in his presence. And it's as simple as saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Amen.
Amen. Somebody give a shout of praise in this place. Father God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's continue in this spirit of worship and just lift up our hands in worship and lift up our hearts in worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God.
All on the altar. Sing along with me. Surrendered again, freely I lay down my everything. This is my honor, the gift that I breathe. I just wanna bless you.
That's all we have is our life and our mind and our body. And when I stand up here and sing, it's all I have to give to God is my worship and my song. And so just pray and let yourself go in the Spirit this morning. I definitely feel the presence of God here in this house this morning. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Such a beautiful spirit of worship in this place. And you know, what Abel was saying, it comes from the Spirit of God. It's God's reminder to us of the way we come into His presence. You know, because as we're praying before the service, that's all we desire. We desire that you, when you come in here, that you experience God's presence. This is a house of miracles, a house of worship, a house. We believe God's speaking. We believe He's moving, right? And you know, as we get that picture of Jesus on Palm Sunday coming in and people throwing down their worship, throwing down the palm branches before Him, that's what we're doing when we do with our worship. Let me tell you, every time people came into the presence, into Jesus' presence, they crowded to get to Him, because where He was, there were miracles, there were healings, they were delivered of demonic influence. People were completely delivered lives. The demoniac was completely freed of all his chains. And so they wanted to get into Jesus' presence. And I just want to tell you that right as we are here, as we're ushering in the presence of God, this is a place where you can receive healing, where you can receive answers to prayer, receive freedom. And at this time in the service, we're going to have our prayer team come and line up here at the front, and we're going to sing one more worship song. If you're not coming forward, just worship the Lord. Forget about everybody else around you. But if you need prayer for anything, just step out of your seat and come forward, and someone will pray with you. And for those who are watching, good morning. We want to thank you for watching this morning. I don't believe it's by accident. And there's no distance in prayer. So whatever need you have, we're going to believe God for that right now. Father, I thank you that the presence of God is able to deliver, to heal, to set free, to bring peace, to remove burdens. And right now, I release the presence of God and the healing of God into your home and into your life and into your marriage and into your children. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing. Command all cancers to go. Command all depression to go. Command all burdens to be lifted from you. All fear to cease. All anxiety to go. Insomnia to go. Just freedom right now. We speak it in the name of Jesus over your life. Say, I receive that. I receive that. So as we come, family, we're going to worship God. One more song. And we select these very carefully, because it's each one of them leads us into worshiping God if we can forget that which is around us. And if you need prayer, don't hesitate. Just come forward and receive prayer this Amen. Morning.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Put me on if you would, Chester. Come on. Is that me? Not me. All right. You know, just thinking, because today being Palm Sunday, and that's, of course, when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the donkey, and people put palm branches in the street, and they cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And you know, some people try to quieten the people. And Jesus said, if they do not praise me, the rocks themselves will cry out and praise me. And I don't know about you, but I'm not letting a rock praise God in my place. I ain't letting no rock sing for me. This is the time we remember Jesus as he enters into Jerusalem. He's about to lay his life down. He's about to sacrifice himself, go to that cross, and be crucified in our place. Listen, this is the time more than ever before. Let's give God praise. Let's not let the rocks cry out in our place, but let's lift our voice and let's sing the song. It's called Gratitude. This has got to be my favorite song right now, Gratitude. And let's stir ourselves up today. Let's let the Lord know how grateful we are and how thankful we are for Jesus today. Amen. Come on, sing with us today.
Oh, oh, we worship you, Jesus. Oh, all my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never so I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else been for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah. You can't shout me, lift up your song, cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on my soul,
come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Don't you get shy on me,
cause you got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord.
Ooh. throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yesterday, as I was coming in to the church to do some work, I saw an image of someone here who was dealing with some kind of addiction and depression. And you think that you don't deserve it because of all the things that you have done in your life, and it's coming out of a place of control and worry. But God said, all I require is you, all of you. And in my presence, all that bondage can be broken. I will use those broken pieces and nothing will be wasted. So I just want to encourage you today, if that's you, you are free. You may be using or have an addiction. That may be a truth, but there's a greater truth, that who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, come on, my soul.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me.
Don't you get shy on me.
Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Because all that I have is hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Beautiful worship, beautiful worship. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church. So glad to have you here. Welcome to the newlyweds. Wave your hands, Stacy and Mark. Come on, they're on honeymoon and they're in church. Beautiful wedding, a beautiful wedding outdoors at River Bend under the trees, and just what a lovely day, and God's blessing on your marriage. Amen. Well, welcome to church. Turn and greet someone. Tell them how glad you are to see them, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you taking part in the service today. Welcome to everybody present. We have people that watch us from all over the world, and I want to especially today welcome those who are visiting us for the first time. I must say, I love to see people come for the second time and the third time. I love to see faces I haven't seen for a long time. But we want to welcome those who are here for the first time today. And I don't know, maybe somebody invited you or you just saw the sign and decided to come and try the service out. But we don't want to embarrass you. But right where you are, one of our ushers would like to just give you a visitor pack. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. Come on, family. Let's make it sound like we're glad. Anybody else? God bless you. Welcome. Welcome. If an usher didn't see you, thank you. Aaron, second row, thank you. Anybody else? Welcome. We're glad that you're here. I always say it, and I mean it. I don't believe you're here by accident. You know, sometimes we look back and we see that God led and directed us to a place where we heard what we needed to hear, that we received what we needed to receive. God knows how to get our attention. So thank you for being here today. I pray you get exactly what you need today in the service. And hang around afterwards, and Pastor Steve and I would love to meet you and greet you afterwards. There's a guest card, if you wouldn't mind filling it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that in. Gives the pastor an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. I just want to remind you some of the things. And, you know, sometimes I think I say these things often, but I heard one of our members say the other day, one of our regular members say, "Is our service on YouTube as well?" I was like, "Don't you listen every week?" But so I want to remind you of different ways that you can stay in touch. First of all, if you text the word ASCEND to 313131. That sounds simple, right? It just looks crazy written down. If you just text the word ASCEND, it'll give us an opportunity to, once a week, we send out an invite, a reminder. I like it because it's also easy to forward on to somebody. If you want to invite someone to church and you say, "Hey, that message sounds like just what somebody I know needs," you can send it to them. So you can sign up for that. And then there's five different ways you can experience the service besides in person. I pick in person any day. How about you? You know that one of the things we're grateful for last year is that we never closed the service one time. There was opportunities for you to meet in person all year. It's one of the, we're so thankful for that. Anyway, there's different ways for you to watch Ascend. You can watch on our Ascend Church website, which is ascendchurch.us. There's a little barcode right on the seat in front of you. If you just scan it with your camera of your phone, it'll take you to the website, and it's so simple. There's a Ascend Church app. We've had hundreds and hundreds of people download the app. There's all kinds of content on there, past messages, blogs. There's all kinds of things on there that are useful to you. Everything is shareable. So if you see something, then you say, "Somebody I know really needs this," you can go ahead and share it. There's a Bible on there. There's a Bible, audio Bible. There's Bible reading plan. There's lots of things for you to look at. Resources for you on our Ascend Church app. And then, as I said, YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter. On Facebook Live, you get everything. You can go back and you can watch everything from the word go, the worship and everything. And then YouTube, you'll get it right from the beginning of the message, real straightforward. Facebook is the number one for live streaming. So we welcome those that are watching online. Those of our members who are still watching online and not back in service yet, we miss you, we love you, we can't wait to see you, we pray for you. And then lastly, on Fox 29 on a Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m., I think today will probably be 2 weeks ago, the message from 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's an excellent program. We thank God for the opportunity to be on a network channel. And that's at Fox 29 at 7:30 a.m. We've had numerous people, whenever we go out to eat, somebody will say, "I watch you on TV on Sunday." So there's different ways that we're managing to reach different people. I just want to remind you lastly of our purpose. There's four main purposes to our church. First of all, to help you to know God. So it's always on our mind to help you to know God better, to find freedom in every area of your life, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference with your life. Amen. And as Pastor Steve comes up here, I just wanted to say, you know, I want him to hear me. As Pastor Steve comes up here, we had a few days away. We were away last Sunday. I think it was, how many weeks did you say you hadn't missed church? 56? I wanted to say something. You know, it was just, we had a few days away with friends of ours. They invited us to stay with them, and then we had a few days with our youngest daughter, Courtney, and her husband, Sam, from California. And, you know, one of the things she said to us, she said, Dad, what was one of the, name the highlights of your year, last year? And he said, one of them was, he said, when Courtney and Sam became the lead pastors of Hillsong, California, which goes over San Francisco, Orange County, and L.A., he's like, that was one of the highlights, that's got to be one of the highlights of my year. And I love that. I love that you love to see other people go forward and promoted in the things of God, you know? Praise God. Good.
Thank you. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. It's good to be back. It's only 1 week we were gone. Like my wife said, haven't missed a Sunday in the last 56 weeks, which I like the fact, especially because of the fact that there was a pandemic and the rest of the world was shut down. We haven't missed church. We haven't been out of church in 56 weeks. How many of you can say the same thing? How many of you can raise your hand and say the same thing? There's one back there, Miguel, right there. Miguel can say it. I said to Miguel, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I said, we're going to be away for a week. I haven't missed a Sunday in 56 weeks. And he's like, neither have I. And Miguel is there every Sunday. Let me tell you right now, every Sunday I know when I walk in here, Miguel's going to be there. And I appreciate that's a faithful man right there. And Natalie. Amen. Now, I believe we were not on Facebook Live. Let me know when we are up on Facebook Live. Thank God we have more than one way that you can watch the service. Remember, if you're ever not here, like we were out of town last week, but we watched online. And if you try Facebook and it's not working, then go to YouTube. Or go to our website, because we have four different ways you can watch the service. You can watch it on our mobile app. You can watch it on our website, ascendchurch.us. Or you can watch it on YouTube as well as Facebook. There's four different ways you can watch the service live. So I believe we'll get that Facebook up and working. We had a Spanish ministry that rented the building Friday night and Saturday. And they asked me if they could live stream to our Facebook. So I said, okay. So they live stream. They had over 2,000 people watch it on the Friday night. Over 2,000 people. And now here we are with our service, and we're not live streaming on Facebook today. That's something not right about that picture. But anyway, it was great to have the Spanish church ministry that rented our building, and I don't speak Spanish very much. There's a few more. But even though I was watching it and I couldn't understand what they were saying, I could feel the presence of God. I could feel the anointing of God as I was watching it. The girl who was singing, I didn't know what she was singing, but I could tell it was anointed, the presence of God. So praise God. I love to be able to help other churches, and I love, you know, because we rent this out, this building, to other churches for really a fraction of what it should be, really, because we want to help. So praise the Lord. How many of you know what next Sunday is? Next Sunday, if you can believe it, is Easter. Resurrection Day. Passover. Amen. The greatest event in human history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event in the history of the world. Did you know that? It's the greatest thing that ever happened was the resurrection of Jesus. And that's what we celebrate next Sunday. I want to encourage you. Do we have our Easter graphic up there when I'm talking about Easter? Good opportunity. Put that Easter graphic up there. There you go. Did you get the little invite card when you came in today? Now, there was a little mistake. I never ordered a card that tiny before. This is wrong. I walked in and I saw this little card. I was like, what is that? It's supposed to be about four times the size. But the good news is we're going to get our money back. We're going to get a credit. But somebody said to me, I kind of like the little one. What do they call it? A pocket size. You can fit it in your pocket real easy. So I want to encourage you, these little tiny invites here that you got when you came in, the little ones, take a whole bunch of them and invite someone next Sunday to come to Easter. You never know. You never know what could happen. You never can tell what could happen. You invite someone to church. You say, well, I've invited them already. Well, invite them again. There's Tony back. Wave at me, Tony. Tony was invited to come to church by Janice 12 times before he came. 12 times, Tony. He was invited 12 times before he came. Now, Tony has been part of our church for many years. He's brought many people. He's got someone with him today that he invited, I bet you, before the service. He's always bringing people to church. So don't give up on somebody because you invited them one time and they said they'd come and they didn't come. Just keep on inviting them. This could be the Easter that their life has changed forever. We're on Facebook now. Thank you. So please take these invites. Invite somebody to come next Sunday. I really believe what would thrill the Lord more than anything else is to see this church filled and to see a whole lot of people receive Jesus in their life. Amen? Amen. Say, I'm going to invite someone to Easter. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to invite someone to Easter. If they don't say it, just bump them. I'm inviting someone next Sunday to come to Easter service. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word today? We did watch last week. I saw that evangelist Mike Francine did an awesome job last Sunday. Preached an awesome word last week, didn't he? And Mike is in California for the next 3 weeks. He's preaching around California, and then he'll be back. Do I have to change something, fix something? I'm good now. How's that? Good, good, good. What there? How's that? Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You said that we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. I thank you for bringing freedom in every life today, Lord. I thank you that you carry and anoint your word to every person and you bring understanding, you bring revelation, Lord. I give you all the praise for everything that's going to be said and everything that will be done, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you're here today. Tell them they look good today. Tell them you're looking good today. Our musicians and singers did a wonderful job today. I want to thank the singers and musicians. You did a great job today. What a great time of worship. Amen. Hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. If you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you. We'd love to have you come visit our church. I promise you, we have the friendliest people in town. They'll make you feel so welcome, and your kids will have great fun at our Ascend Kids Church. So we hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody? Amen. Amen. Now today, I want to speak to you about rule your world. Tell your neighbor, rule your world. The scripture says in Romans chapter 5 in verse 17, it says, it is true that through the sin of one man, death began to rule because of that one man. But how much greater is the result of what was done by one man, Jesus Christ, because all who receive God's abundant grace and are freely put right with him will rule in life through Christ. Say, God wants me to rule in life. Isn't that what it says? It says, when you receive Jesus, he enables you to rule in life. And in fact, the contemporary English version says, we will live and rule like kings in this life. God created you to rule in life like a king. You know, when God originally made humans, he made them to rule. He gave them authority to rule in this world. In Genesis 1, in verse 26, the Bible says, God said, now we will make humans and they will be like us. We will let them rule the fish, the birds, and all the other living creatures. God gave man authority to rule in this earth. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they sinned and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they surrendered that authority over to the devil. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Satan is called the god of this world. In fact, some translations say god of this age, because Satan's time is limited. Jesus is coming back, and Satan's going to be bound and thrown into a bottomless pit. That's what the book of Revelation tells us. But currently, Satan is the god of this world. And that should help us to understand why the world's in the state that it is. Because Satan's ruling, controlling the world. That's why the world's in a mess. The Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 19, we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. If you ever wonder why things happen in the earth, terrible, bad things happen, so often people say, well, that, you know, they blame God. No, that Satan is controlling the world around us. That's why we have violence and hatred and famine and pandemics and injustices. It's all because the devil is the god of this world. Amen? But Jesus came to set us free from Satan's control and to give back the authority that God created us to have. In Colossians chapter 1 in verse 13, it says, he rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness. And he translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved son. Jesus rescued us from Satan's control and rule. He delivered us from the power of darkness through the cross. After Jesus rose from the dead, he said in Matthew 28 verse 18, it says, Jesus said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. You see, Jesus came to the earth to defeat the enemy for us. In Colossians 2, verse 15, the scripture says he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. The New King James Bible says he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The Passion Bible says Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his prisoner. Now, when the Bible talks about triumphing, that Jesus triumphed over the enemy, that is referring specifically to the way that the Roman army would have a triumphant procession. When a Roman general defeated their enemy, they would hold a big parade and they would take the conquered king. They would strip him naked. They would tie him in chains and they would drag him through the streets of Rome for all the citizens of Rome to see. He would be humiliated and he would be insulted. That there was no need to fear this enemy anymore. They triumphed over him. And that's what happened to the devil. Jesus triumphed over the devil. That's what this verse is talking about. In fact, if you read the Message translation, it says he stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross, and he marched them naked through the streets. Amen. Let me tell you, Jesus not only beat the devil, but he had a triumphant procession to display the devil as a totally conquered foe. Satan does not need to terrify us ever again. But unfortunately, there's some Christians, I think they missed the parade. They haven't seen God's triumphant procession that was pictured in the Word of God, where Satan is displayed as a totally defeated foe. And there are some people that are circulating rumors that Satan is a powerful force to be reckoned with. But I want to tell you, that's not so. Yes, Satan is alive and he does have power. And we do have to deal with him in our life. But he has no authority to use any power against us. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been given authority over the enemy. What is authority? Authority means the right or the power to enforce obedience or the right to command, or it means delegated power. We've received delegated power. We have been given the right to command the enemy. Satan is still the God of the world right now. But let me tell you, he doesn't have to be God over your world. Amen. He doesn't have to have control over you unless you allow him to. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 14 in verse 30, he said, I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches, but he has no power over me. Jesus said, Satan may be the God of the world, but he's got no power over me. And can I tell you, Satan's got no power over you either, unless you allow him to rule over you. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 27, don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. Do you know another word for manipulate is the word control? You see, the Bible says don't give the enemy the opportunity or the power to control and manipulate you. Jesus has given you authority over the devil, but you have to use that authority to rule over him. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Amen? You got authority over the devil. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't tell us to do something about the devil if we didn't have the right and authority to do so. The Bible says you got to resist him, and he will flee. How do you resist him? You resist the enemy by speaking to him in the name of Jesus, by speaking the word of God. That's what Jesus did. When the enemy came to tempt Jesus, what did Jesus say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's the way that you use your authority. You speak to him. Devil, in the name of Jesus, I resist you. Sickness, I resist you. Lack, fear, I resist you. That's how you rule over your world, is by using the authority God gave you and speaking to the enemy in Jesus' name. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, see, you got an enemy. Your enemy, the devil, he roams around incessantly like a roaring lion, looking for its prey to devour. The Bible says the devil goes around looking for those that he can devour. That tells me he can't devour everybody. He's looking for the ones that he can. Isn't that right? Verse 9 says, take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. You see, the enemy's looking for who he can devour, but he can't devour anybody. He can't devour those who resist him with strong, vigorous faith. Does the enemy try to come against me? Absolutely. What do? I resist him with strong, vigorous faith. I resist him in the name of Jesus. I don't just say, oh, well, come on, devil, you know, come and have your way. No. If I heard a knock on my front door and I went to the front door and there was someone standing there, we say with a mask on, but now everyone's wearing a mask these days. But if you had a mask on and a baseball bat and a sack over one shoulder, I wouldn't open up and say, come on in, come on and rob me. No, I'd close the door. When the enemy comes against you, the Bible says that he's looking for who he can devour. But if you resist him with faith, he will flee from you. In Matthew 18, verse 18, Jesus said, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Here's the question. What are you permitting in your life? And what are you forbidding? What are you binding? God wants you to rule your world. I can't rule other people's world, but I can rule my world. I can't rule your world, but I can rule my world. You don't have to let certain things into your world. You don't have to let fear into your world. You don't have to let sickness into your world. You don't have to let offense and bitterness and anger. You don't have to let these things control your will. You don't have to let sin control you. Do you know that? The Bible says in Romans 6 verse 1, sin is a dethroned monarch, so you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. Sin has been dethroned. You don't have to let sin control you. Someone said, well, I just can't help myself. Actually, you can. You've got authority to reign over it. You can rule over sin. You can rule in your world. You don't have to let the devil rule and control your life. Just because there's a pandemic out there in the world doesn't mean that a pandemic has to rule in my world. Psalm 91 verse 7 says, even in times of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. People tell me all the time, people tell me, what about this one? What about that one? What about this one? Listen, I can't answer for them. All I know is there may be thousands that fall by my side, but I will remain unscathed and I will remain I can't answer for them. I can't rule your will, but let me tell you right now, I can rule my will. Psalm 91 verse 9 says, when we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us? How could disease infect us? When you live your life under the shadow of God and you follow the Lord and you believe the word of God and you stand in faith, let me tell you right now, disease does not have to infect you. You don't have to allow the devil to rule over you. You don't have to allow sickness to rule over you. You don't have to allow people to rule over your life. You have a space that belongs only to you. It's in your thoughts and your attitudes and your emotions. It's with who you spend time with. It's what you watch, what you listen to. That's your atmosphere. That's what you have control over. Are you with me? And the reason that some people live worried and offended and negative and fearful is because they let everything into their world. They listen to the news all day. They dwell on the medical report. They go to lunch with people who are critical and fearful. And maybe someone cuts them off in the traffic and that makes them upset the rest of the day. The problem is they're not ruling their world. You've got to be careful what you allow into your world. You can't stop everything from coming, but you can stop it from getting down in your heart, from getting down in your spirit. You got to keep your atmosphere, keep it full of faith, full of praise, full of victory. Anything that tries to poison the atmosphere around you, it's up to you to say, no, you're not welcome in my will. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. If someone's rude to you, let me tell you, that offense will come to your mind. You should be angry. You should be bitter. That's not right. You should pay them back. You can let that offense in and you can live upset, or you can say, no, sorry, offense, you're not welcome here. Sorry, bitterness, there's no place for you here. I'm staying in peace. I'm going to enjoy this day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. You see, you don't have control over what people do, but you do have control over your own thoughts and over your own attitude and over how you respond. Proverbs 25 verse 28 says this, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. The Bible talks about ruling your own spirit. In Bible days, the walls protected the city. If the walls were down, then anyone could just walk in. The opposition would come and just take the city. And in the same way, if you don't keep some walls up around your spirit, if you don't rule your world, if you don't put up some boundaries, then everything's just going to come and get in and infect your world. Your child may be off course. Instead of trusting that God is working in their life, you'll let worry in and you won't be able to sleep at night. Or maybe your business looks slow. You lost a big client. Instead of knowing God is your source and He's going to provide for you, stress will come. The anxiety, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? Maybe someone's talking about you, trying to make you look bad. Instead of letting God fight your battles, you let the offense in and you live defensive, trying to prove to them that you really are okay. Let me tell you, that's wasting valuable time on something that really doesn't matter. Because you know what I found out? I don't need people's approval. God has already approved me. I have God's approval, and so do you. And you need to keep your walls up and quit allowing into your spirit just everything that would come. You've got to be selective. If it's not positive, it's not hopeful, if it's not of good report, then don't dwell on it. You can't control the whole world, but let me tell you, you can control your world. Amen. Philippians 4 verse 6 tells us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your minds quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. It says, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is good and what is right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all that you can praise God for and all that you can be glad about. Let me tell you, the Bible says, think on that. Focus your mind on that. If a thought comes and it's not good, don't accept it. If it doesn't bring faith and hope and peace, don't dwell on it. Reject it. The Bible says, cast down every thought that exalts itself against the Word of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Let me tell you, God made you to reign and rule in life. And negative things will come to you. But you got to remember that you are the ruler, that you have the authority to decide what you allow in. Am I going to allow this offense to come in? Am I going to, you know, hang around this person who's pulling me down? Am I going to stay focused on that bad break? Am I going to live my life in self-pity? It's up to you. You rule over your kingdom. When you turn on the news nowadays, there's so much negative news. We hear about how bad the pandemic is and the divisiveness in politics and the unrest in our society. If you allow that division to get in you and that disrespect and the anger, is going to pollute your thoughts and steal your joy and make you sour. You've got to be proactive. What are you watching? What are you listening to? Is it building you up? Is it making you more hopeful? Is it making you more positive? Or is it tearing you down, stressing you out, making you angry, making you upset? Let me tell you don't need that in your atmosphere. Life is hard enough without adding all these negative things that make it even more difficult. Are you with me? And I used to like to watch the news. I don't watch the news much anymore. I must be honest with you. I used to watch the news. I kind of switched it off. Now I watch Cowboys movies or something, you know. I watch a cooking show. I mean, I'll watch anything than the news because I like to be informed. But the reason I haven't been watching the news, can I tell you why? Because I find it steals my peace. I find it steals my joy. I find it just makes me upset. So I have to limit myself to how much news. Because you can't listen to the news for hours and hours every day and stay in faith and stay in peace. You can't take that in your spirit and have the energy and the focus and the faith and the passion that you need to be your best. I mean, it's okay to, you know, watch a little bit what's going on, but I would focus more your attention on what God says. Reading the Word of God, the Bible. Are you with me? You've got the power to rule your world as a king. You can't control what's going on around you, but you can control what gets in you. Are your walls up? Are you ruling your spirit? Because it's so important who you spend time with. You've got to evaluate your friendships. Are they making you better? Are they inspiring you? Or are they pulling you down, causing you to compromise, bringing out the worst in you? That's contaminating your world. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, stop fooling yourselves. Evil companions will corrupt good morals and character. The Living Bible says if you listen to them, you'll start acting like them. Let me tell you, you hang around the wrong people and it's going to influence you. So you'll start acting like them. You're going to become like the people you hang around with. If your friends don't have what you want, if they're not going places or they don't have the right attitude, they're not faithful, they're not trustworthy, you need to make a change. Because how many of you know life is short and you don't have time to waste with people that are not adding to your life? And yes, we need to help other people come up higher, but we need a few friends that will help us to come up higher in our life. This is one of the main things that holds people back. Believe me, I've been a pastor for, I have to stop and figure it out every time, but it's like 37 years I've been a pastor. This is one of the main things I see holds people back. If you will change who you're spending time with, you'll see your life go to a new level. You shouldn't go to lunch with people at the office that are jealous and talk about the boss and they complain about the company and they're just negative. Let me tell you, spirits are transferable. If you hang around jealous people, you're going to become jealous. You hang around unfaithful people, you're going to become unfaithful. Psalm 1 verse 1, it says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God, but they delight in doing everything God wants them to do. And day and night, they're always meditating on his laws and thinking about ways to follow him more closely. They are like trees along a riverbank bearing luscious fruit each season without fail. Their leaves shall never wither, and all that they do will prosper. Notice it says, you know, you don't hang around with people who are scoffers. You know, there are some people who scoff at the things of God. They mock the things of God. Don't hang around with people like that. Invite them to church, but don't go out and spend your whole life with them. The Amplified Bible says, blessed is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and their purposes, nor stands inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. Are you with me? Don't sit inactive in the path of the ungodly. That means don't be passive when it comes to people polluting your life. Well, Steve, you know, I've been friends with them for years. If I don't eat lunch with them, they might get their feelings hurt. Well, what if you miss your destiny? What if they are keeping you from the awesome future that God has in store for you? Don't sit inactive and let them poison your atmosphere. Your ears are not garbage cans to hear gossip. You weren't created to take in the latest rumors. You have greatness within you. God has called you to leave your mark and to take your family to a new level. God's got great things, good plans for you. Don't waste your valuable time on petty things with small-minded people that are not moving you forward in your life. Let me tell you, the less time you spend with some people, the better off you're going to be. Some people are just dream stealers, man. They'll tell you all the reasons why you'll never accomplish that goal and why you'll never get well and why you'll never break that addiction. Are they just like dream stealers? You don't need that poison in your spirit. Don't sit inactive with people that don't believe in you, people that don't come in agreement with your dreams, people who mock the things of God. Don't just hit around and just let that go in your ear and get there. No, you got to rule over your spirit and have those walls up around you. Let me tell you, if someone is not for you, you don't have to debate with them about what God put in your heart. You don't need them. Sometimes it may even be your family. Now, I'm all for family, but sometimes you'd be better off not spending a lot of time with some of those family. Do you know what Jesus said? Let me tell you what Jesus said. This is just amazing. This blew me away what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 about family. In verse 35, he said, I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter-in-law against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's worst enemies will be right in his own home. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. And if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. That means if you put anyone else more important than God, that's displeasing. God wants to be first in your life. The Message Bible says it like this: well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. If you prefer your father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me. Prefer means if their opinion and pleasing them is more important to you than pleasing God, then let me tell you, you need to really examine your heart. Well, Pastor Steve, I'd come to church on Sundays, but my husband doesn't really want me to. Who gives a hoot what your husband wants you to do? In that instance, God comes before your husband. Are you with me? That you've got to put God above everybody else. Well, Pastor Steve, I know the Bible says this, but, you know, my cousin said that. I'd go with the Bible. I'd follow the Bible than your cousin every time. In Matthew 12, verse 46, Jesus said, it says, while Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers came and they stood outside and they asked for him to come and speak with them. Then someone said, look, your mother, your brothers, they're standing outside. They want to have a word with you. Jesus looked at him and he said, let me introduce you to my true mother and my true brothers. And gesturing to the disciples that were gathered, he said, look closely, this is my true family. So when you obey my heavenly Father, that makes you part of my true family. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. Let me tell you, don't let anyone poison your spirit. Don't let anyone convince you you can't accomplish your dreams. And that includes your own family. You got to rule over your world. Get rid of the naysayers. Quit spending time with people who do not see your potential, your greatness, or don't value what you have to offer. Don't recognize the call of God on your life, who oppose you, who undermine you, who talk about you. Let me tell you, if you get rid of the wrong people, God will bring the right people. He'll bring the right divine connections into your life. Some of you, the thing you need most is to get rid of certain people in your life because they're dragging you down. You need people who come in agreement with you, people who thrust you forward, help you reach your destiny. The only thing that's holding some people back is who they're spending time with. Amen. Let me tell you, life is too short to spend it with negative, judgmental, can't do it, jealous, critical, small-minded kind of people. You need some eagles in your life, people who soar, people who are doing great things, people who have a great attitude. You can't soar with the eagles if you're hanging around with the chickens. Chickens are people that got their head down, focused on the ground, what they can't do, how big the problem is, how tough life is. Let me tell you, you can't reach new levels in your life if you're hanging around with the turkeys. That's people who compromise. They take the easy way out, mediocre. You won't see greatness hanging out with the crows, people who complain, find fault, always see the worst in people. You're an eagle. God created you to soar. You need to associate with other eagles, people who inspire you to rise higher, not people who drag you down. And there are certain people, when you're around them, I mean, it's like they drain you of all your energy. They're always having a problem. They're always telling you what's wrong, how bad life is. They're like energy suckers. When you leave them, you feel like you just ran a marathon. Let me tell you, you can't take that in on a regular basis and still reach your potential. And it's good. It's good to encourage people and help other people. But if you're doing all the giving and never receiving, that's out of balance. You need someone who encourages you, someone who speaks life into you. Don't sit inactive around people that you know are limiting you. They're not bringing out the best in you. You got to rule over your world. In Psalm 59, David was on the run from King Saul. He was hiding in the desert. I mean, he'd been good to Saul. But Saul was jealous of David. He couldn't stand people celebrating David more than him. And Saul and his army were tracking David down, man. They were making David's life miserable for years. And David said in Psalm 59, verse 3, he said, desperados have ganged up on me. They're hiding in ambush for me. I did nothing to deserve this, God. I crossed no one. I wronged no one. All the same, they're after me. They're determined to get me. David could have been upset, bitter, but in the middle of all that, David went on to say in verse 16, but as for me, I will sing about your power. Each morning, I will sing with joy about your unfailing love. For you've been my refuge, a place of safety when I am in distress. As for me, I'm going to sing with joy to the Lord. See, David understood what I'm telling you today. David knew he couldn't control Saul. He couldn't make Saul not be jealous. He couldn't change his enemy's mind, but he could rule over his world. He didn't have to let in the worry. He didn't have to let in the fear, the bitterness, the panic. No, David's attitude was, I'm going to stay in peace. I'm not going to think about how unfair it is. I'm not going to dwell on what didn't work out. God, I'm going to praise you in the middle of the storm. I'm going to shout for joy despite what's coming against me. See, you can't rule other people's atmosphere. You can't make other people do what's right. But you can rule over your world. You can rule over your atmosphere. When God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, Pharaoh had agreed to let them go, but then he changed his mind and he chased after them with his army. And they came to the Red Sea. And Moses told them in Exodus 14, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace and remain at rest. You just hold your peace. You just remain at rest, and the Lord's going to fight for you. You know, when you hold your peace and you stay calm, that's when God can fight for you. You might be in a situation right now that's very unfair. Maybe somebody did you wrong, or you're dealing with an illness, or you went through a loss, and you could be worried and bitter and fearful and upset. But you can't control everything that happens. You can't make that go away. That's where you have to do like David. You have to dig down deep and say, I'm keeping my walls up. I'm not letting that negative into my spirit. I'm going to keep singing praises. I'm going to keep thanking God. I'm going to keep speaking the victory in the name of Jesus. You see, when you remain at rest, God will fight your battles. He'll take care of your enemies. He'll pay you back for those unfair things. He'll give you beauty for those ashes. Don't be controlled by what you don't have control over. You can't stop the souls from coming. You can't stop people from being jealous. You can't stop the bad breaks. But what you can control is what you allow in to your world. You can't keep the offenses from coming, but you can keep them from getting into your heart. When you allow other people to contaminate your atmosphere, you're giving away your power. You're letting them control you. Sometimes we're waiting for the circumstance to change. Well, Pastor Steve, I tell you what, when this pandemic is over, then I'm going to stop being so stressed out and worried. Or when my boss starts treating me better, then I'm going to stop. I'll stop dreading going to work every day. When I get through this illness, man, then I'll stop being so worried. No, you got to start ruling your world. You have the authority to allow in only what you want in your life. Amen. You don't have to let that offense in. You don't have to let the worry in. You don't have to let the self-pity in. When it comes to your mind, you've got to turn it around. Amen. Father, I thank you. You're fighting my battles. I thank you that you being for me is more than the whole world being against me. If God is for me, then what can stand against me? Amen. Amen. Psalm 94, verse 13 says, you give him power to remain or to keep himself calm in the days of adversity. You give him power to keep himself calm in the days of adversity. Say, thank you, Lord, you give me power to stay calm no matter what the adversity. You see, when trouble comes, you don't have to get upset. When your plans don't work out, you don't have to fall apart. When someone is rude to you, you don't have to get offended. You have the power to remain calm. That's what the Bible says. See, it's because you're a king. God's given you the authority to rule over your kingdom, to rule over your mind, to rule over your attitude, to rule over your response. You can't rule over somebody else. You can't rule over all your circumstances. That's not up to you. Sometimes that's in God's hands. But let me tell you, you can control what you can control. And trust God to take care of what you can't control. Amen? I heard Joel Osteen tell the story that in 2003, the city of Houston voted for Lakewood to have the compact center. I mean, it had been a two-year battle for them. They had all kinds of opposition came against them. They had to work so hard, convince different council members. But God caused it all to fall into place. And eventually they were given the approval. It was a great victory. The vote was on a Wednesday, and that night they had a big celebration at church. And the next day, Joel said he and his family were going out of town for a couple of days, a few days rest. And so they were so excited. They were on cloud nine. They arrived at the hotel. They started unpacking. And then he got a call from his administrator at the church. And he said to him, a large company in Houston had just filed a federal lawsuit to try and stop them from moving into the compact center. They said that they had violated the deed restrictions. And that meant they couldn't move in, because now that it was in the legal system, it could have taken years for this to be resolved. And the attorney said there was no guarantee that Lakewood would win the case, and that this was less than 24 hours after one of the greatest victories of their lives. So Joel's wife asked him, what was he going to do about it? And he said, I'm going to go down to the beach. She said, what are you going to do there? He said, I'm going to swim. She said, aren't you worried about it? He said, no, we did our part. Now it's in God's hands. I'm not going to worry about something I can't change. I'm going to stay at rest. I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to stay at peace. And I know God is going to fight our battles. And you know, that's exactly what happened. And yes, the worry did come to him. The disappointment did try and get down in his heart. He did have frustration that tried to get a hold of his mind, but he kept up his walls and he didn't allow that in his atmosphere. He ruled over his world. And let me tell you, when you've had a setback, when you're facing difficulties, that's a very important time, because the enemy is going to try and bombard your mind, your space, your atmosphere, your emotions. He'll even use other people to try and discourage you, try and get you worried, try and get you full of doubt, questioning God. Why did this happen? I don't understand. That's when you've got to take your authority and say, no, I'm not allowing that in my atmosphere. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not reliving my hurts. I'm not thinking about what didn't work out. I'm staying in faith in the name of Jesus. I know God is still on the throne. I know he didn't bring me this far to leave me. I know the enemy wouldn't be trying to stop me if there wasn't something awesome in my future. Amen. You see, if you'll do your part and control what you can control and rule over your world, over your thoughts, over your emotions, let me tell you, God will do his part. And he'll make things happen that you could never make happen by yourself. There's a restaurant chain called the Smoothie King. Have you ever heard of the Smoothie King? And they have a motto. You know what their motto is? Rule the day. Their motto is rule the day. And let me tell you, they encourage you to eat the right foods and take the right vitamins so that you can have a healthy day. Rule your day. I like that phrase, rule the day. Because I believe when you get up in the morning, you should make a decision. I'm going to rule my thoughts today. I'm not going to just think about whatever comes into my mind. I'm going to think on purpose, positive, hopeful, encouraging thoughts. Amen? I'm going to rule who I spend time with today. I'm not going to just spend time with anybody. I'm going to be selective. I'm going to associate with eagles. I'm going to rule my attitude today. I'm going to see the best. I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to stay in peace. I'm going to rule my emotions today. I'm going to forgive the wrongs done to me. I'm going to overlook insults. I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen. See, it's important to make that decision ahead of time, even before you leave the house, that nothing that happens is going to upset you. You're going to stay in peace. When difficulties come, your boss is rude, your child has a problem, you've already decided you're going to rule the day. You got your walls up. You're not going to live upset. We should go out every day, family, expecting the best, but knowing that everything may not be perfect. There may be delays. There may be interruptions. There may be people who are hard to deal with. Don't let that ruin your day. Rule the day. Keep the negative out of your atmosphere. Know that God is directing your steps, and whatever happens is not a surprise to him. He's given you the power to remain calm, even in times of adversity. Amen? It doesn't say God gives you the power to avoid adversity or to never have any challenges or to have a perfect day every day. The fact is, every day can be a good day if you rule over your will. David had a good day while Saul was chasing him in the wilderness. Joel had a good day at the beach when the company filed the lawsuit against him. Quit waiting for all the circumstances to be perfect. You can have a good day in the middle of a pandemic. You can have a good day even when you're facing challenges at work. Even when you're dealing with an illness, even when maybe there's some people don't like you, you can stay calm, you can stay in faith, you can rule the day. Make that decision like David. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I'm going to live in faith. I'm going to be happy today. I'm going to be good to others today. I'm going to make the most of this day. Am I going to rule my world? Am I going to keep my walls up, or am I going to be offended? Because let me tell you, people are always trying to bring their atmosphere into your atmosphere. And people that are hurting have issues. They're dealing with things. They'll try and put that poison on you. It's not that they're bad people. It's just that they are hurting themselves. And the mistake we make so often is we take the bait, man. We let the offense in. We get upset and we do to them what they did to us. But the you don't overcome evil with more evil. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 22, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, when someone does something wrong to you, the Bible says you overcome it by doing good to them. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, he said, as for you, be calm, cool, and steady. Be calm, cool, and steady. You know, some people let things upset them way too easy. The traffic, the weather, some kind of inconvenience, a grumpy clerk that they have to deal with. I wonder how much more we would enjoy our life, how much higher we would go if we would start ruling the day, keeping up our walls, not letting everything get down into our spirit. I can't stop it from coming, but I can stop it from controlling my world, controlling my life. You're a king. You have a kingdom. You're in charge of your thoughts and your attitudes. Start ruling in your will. Make the decision at the beginning of the day. You're going to stay in peace. You're not going to let things upset you. You're going to be calm, cool, and steady in the name of Jesus. Because I believe if you'll do this, I believe not only will you enjoy your life so much more, but you'll see more of God's favor in your life. You'll see God fight your battles for you. He'll take care of what's trying to stop you. You'll see you'll rise higher. You'll overcome obstacles. You'll see new levels in your destiny in the name of Jesus. Say it today. Say, I'm ruling over my world. I'm ruling over my world. I'm ruling over my spirit. Amen. God called you to rule over your world, to rule in your life. You don't have to let those things in. You can live in peace. You can live in faith. You don't have to let in fear. You don't have to let in bitterness. You don't have to let in jealousy, worry, all of those things. You can resist those things, and you can live your life the way God has destined for you, a life of victory, amen? A life of peace, a life of freedom, a life of joy, amen? Amen. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. Hold on to your peace. Don't let go of it. Amen. Do you receive this today? Do you get something out of this today? Father, I thank you for every person that is here today, everyone who's watching this and all the many different platforms. Father, I pray, Father, for each and every person, whatever they may be facing. I thank you, Lord, that you help them to rule over their will, to rule over their spirit, Lord, to become everything that you have destined them to be. I thank you, Father, that you've called us to live a life of victory. I thank you that because we have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we can reign in this life as kings through Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the authority that you've given us. You said that whatever we bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. Whatever we permit, it will be permitted. You said we will resist the devil, stand up and resist him, and he will turn and flee from us. We thank you, Lord, that we can tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We thank you, Father, for your angels that protect us everywhere we go, that we walk in divine protection, we walk in divine health, no disease will come near us. We thank you, Lord, that we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that everything we do prospers. In every season we prosper. Everything we put our hand to, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. While you have your heads bowed today, I just want to pray right now. If there's anyone here this morning you're not sure where you stand with God, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that heaven is where you would spend eternity? Because let me tell you the good news is you can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that every mistake, every sin that you ever committed in your life, it's forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand or anything like that. But right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed and while we have our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I ask you quickly just to slip your hand up high. Just slip up your hand, and I'm looking for your hand. And if your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Do you see any hands, Allison? No? Maybe you're watching this online today. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never done that today, just say this prayer with me. Everyone just say this. Just say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to come to this earth, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin. And Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess he is my Lord, that I would be saved. I do this today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I repent before you now. I confess, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to live for you. And I thank you because I've received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. Heaven is now my home. My name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Jill.
That was a good word. Amen. Good word. Gets me so, just gives me some strong, vigorous faith. I like that. I like that. That translation of that verse. But praise God, this is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And for those of you that are in the building, there are envelopes in the seats in front of you. For those of you who are watching online, there's many ways to give. If you're on Facebook, you can take the link and go to our website. You can give on our app. There's various ways you can give. Thank you to those who give during the week. There's many people that give online. There's many people that give reoccurring giving, which is an absolute blessing to our church. I love giving on the app. It's just so simple. You log in one time, and then I just go in my bank accounts. I can choose which bank account. I can choose the amount. I can designate it. It's really simple. So thank you to those who give so faithfully, even people that we haven't seen in a year that have been faithful week in and week out. I think of Prudencio. And Prudencio, I hope you're watching, but every single week without fail, that I just know, I haven't seen him for a long time, but praise God, he keeps supporting the kingdom of God. I just want to mention something, talking about the subject of ruling your world. You know, God wants you blessed. That's what the Word of God says. He wants you blessed. There's no question about it. God's will is for his people to prosper and do well. I don't think there's anybody here who disagrees with that, right? And to have all sufficiency in all things. Now, that's not always the case in everybody's life. You say, well, it's the will of God, then why don't I see it? Well, two of the reasons that can be, first of all, could be a lack of obedience. Or it could be a lack of knowledge, right? And so but I want to tell you that when you obey God's word and when you tithe, you are a candidate for prosperity. I'm just telling you what the word of God says. Because there are promises in God's word that are reserved for those who act on it through tithing, right? They are rights that belong to you. And when you claim those rights, you can see them come to pass. Malachi 3 verse 10, I'm going to read you two verses, but it's very clear what the tither can expect from the Lord. So Malachi 3 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. That's God talking, right? He says, and try me now in this, or prove me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So people might say, what is tithing? Once again, I don't want to assume whether people understand. Tithing is just an old-fashioned English word for the word tenth. It's 10% of your gross income. That's all throughout the Bible, right? And so God's design to increase and prosper his people is linked to that. It's linked to it. And people get, you know, they get caught up. Sometimes I hear people having all these debates about whether tithing falls under the law, it's Old Testament, or is it New Testament. Let me tell you where tithing began. In the Garden of Eden, when Abel brought the first fruits of his labor to the Lord, right? Cain didn't. Cain brought what in the process of time, but Abel starts bringing his first fruits. So tithing has always been in the plan of God. We see Abraham before, it's still in the book of Genesis, but before the law even comes, we see Abraham bringing a tenth of all the spoils to the Lord. So tithing is not a man-made idea. It's not a pastor's idea. It's not somebody trying to get your money. It's God's idea. It's a plan of God. And I actually love what Pastor Steve said, reading that scripture about who is my father and mother. People will try and talk you out of giving. And very often, people who care about you, like well-meaning, like, don't give all your money to the church. You don't have to give that much. You don't. But you know what? I'm telling you, follow God. I tell my kids, I don't tell them, hold on to what you got. I'm saying, honor God first. That's when you'll see the blessing. Anyway, there are special rights and protections. And here are three tithers' rights just from that passage that we have to claim and believe God in order to see them. Just because it's written there, you might say, oh, well, I tithe and I've had opposition. We've got to do something about it. We've got to claim the rights that we have. We've got to rule over this area of our life. Amen? And, you know, that we've got an enemy. So, yes, Satan has no authority, but let me tell you, he's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy, and we've got to stand up and believe God. We've got to enforce the rights. So the first right that we see here is that it says in Malachi, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So when lack tries to come to your life, you've got to stand up and you've got to say, no, you don't. No, you don't. When you lose your job, you don't just start crying and say, well, God, where are you? You know, say, Lord, where's that better job? Lead me to that better job. Because you rebuke the devourer for my sake. You rebuke lack, and so I rebuke lack over my life. Take authority. Believe that it is yours. So the tither's rights cover every economic situation. I won't take the time to give you examples, but it doesn't matter if there's a recession or if there's a pandemic. We can trust God in the midst of that if we are tithers. We've got to contend for it. When Satan attacks your job or your business or any area of your life, you've got to say, no, devil, you are rebuked. The Word of God says you are rebuked for my sake, and you're a liar. I don't receive this. I don't receive this in my life. And so you tell him, take your hands off my money. If you have to get your tithing check stubs and remind him that you are a tither and you have rights, then do it. So the second tither's right is that you will receive an outpouring of God's blessing. Malachi says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing there won't be room enough to receive it. So we expect the windows of heaven are open above us as we tithe. Amen? And so, you know, it says that there will not even be room enough to receive it. Do you know the purpose of prosperity and blessing on your life is that you have more than enough so that you can bless other people? The purpose is not to meet your needs. People go like, Lord, I'm not asking for much, just meet my needs. That's really selfish. You say, let me have more. The windows of heaven are open above me. I have more than enough that I can give to people. I can promote the kingdom of God. Amen? I'll move along quickly. The third one is where it says, God says, I'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Let me tell you, as a tither, one of the rights, it's not just over your finances. It's over your health. It's over your children. It's over your household. It's over your pets. And so let me tell you, there's nothing. God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So when something comes against your health, you just say, I am a tither. The devourer is rebuked off of my life. Your children start going the wrong way, I am a tither. Those kids are going to serve you all the days of their life. Amen? Any area of your life, including your finances, they are rights, but we have to claim them. Now, that's if you're a tither. And if you're not a tither, rethink your situation. You don't want the windows of heaven closed over you. I wouldn't do anything to have the windows of heaven closed over me. Amen? All right, there's an opportunity for you to give. Go ahead. Hope I didn't take too long there, but I want to remind you, because sometimes when lack comes to us, we get confused and we say, why isn't God providing? Claim what God provided and stand up against the enemy. Amen. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes. Great. We want to say thank you to all of our servant leaders who served in God's house today. Won't you give a big round of applause and thanks? We're so grateful to all of our servant leaders who serve in children's ministry, and our ushers and our greeters and our media team and our singers and our musicians and our prayers and everyone who contributes. Thank you so much. We are a team. Amen. Stand up with me today. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you were here. I'm glad I was here. Don't forget next Sunday, Easter Sunday. Who are you going to invite? Ask your neighbor. Who are you going to bring? Who are you bringing next Sunday? Who are you going to bring to Easter service next Sunday? Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. You are good, Lord.
Sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good.
Next Sunday.
Have a great week, you guys. Bye-bye.